Yeah, I'm coming through. Okay. But I feel very much that what has already been shared this morning is very much in the spirit of what I want to share this morning, so you'll have to forgive me because I find it a little bit overwhelming. Is coming from the heart. I think this is very much where I am at the moment, and the things that I'm going to share, I think very much are things that I wrestle with on a daily basis. So I'll do my best. Okay. I've got the PowerPoint there, Bridget. I made a decision at the start of 2016 that I was going to make some changes. I was going to slow down. 2015 had raced by so fast that I'd missed it. I felt I was missing seeing my children's development. I wasn't getting involved with my children's education. The year had flashed by so fast. We'd had a couple of holidays in there, but they were brief, and it all just passed by in a bit of a blur. So when 2016 came around, I said, right, 2016 is going to be different. I said to Lucy, right, we're going to put some things in place. But, of course, I never got round to putting anything in place, and 2016 seemed to go just as fast. My quiet times got squeezed, they got shorter, my prayers got more urgent. I found myself praying in retrospect. And I wasn't really spending time studying the Bible and spending time in God's presence. My working day was rushed. I drove as fast as I could to work to cut down my journey time. I wasn't completing my tasks at work. I wasn't finishing my drawings. My lunch times were a matter of cramming a load of stuff into half an hour, emailing and making phone calls and sorting stuff out. So 2016 passed by in as much of a flash as 2015 had. The term running up to Christmas was crazier than ever. We had music exams and we had school plays, etc. Saturdays were just an unachievable job list, and sleep times were being squeezed, and Lucy and I were just sort of passing like ships in a night. I don't think I'm alone in this. I think this is a place that many modern families find themselves in with kids. And I found myself driving home one night leading up to Christmas just saying, am I at peace? There's a peace and a joy that comes in knowing that we're saved. I'm not talking about that. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that there's an eternal peace that's going to come. There's a place that I'm going to be. I'm not worried about that. But there's a calmness that should be there in daily life. Being full of the Holy Spirit, surely I should be able to just be at peace and worship through stressful moments. There should be a firmness in the storm of life. There should be a peace within us while everything around us is going a bit nutty. Modern life is an assault on our senses, isn't it? We're bombarded with information. There's music and noise constantly. Radio presenters are sharing their opinions with us. We're constantly offered better ways to organise ourselves. We have machines in our houses to make life easier, aids to help us cope with life. The roads are nutty, everybody is charging about. We have a sense of, though, also of being important and busy, don't we? I can't make it, I'm too busy. Maybe we're a little bit too proud to rest. I wonder whether some of us think that we can work out our salvation through busyness. Protestant work ethic gone wrong, really? And I think this is to do with idolatry. But I'm going to deal with that on another week. Okay. We want to control everything, don't we? We want to keep a grip on everything. We may be scared that if we let go, everything will fall apart. We lay everything out on spreadsheets. At work, we have meetings to organise our work schedules, and then we have to have more meetings because we don't quite meet those deadlines, and we have to have meetings to organise the meetings. Did you know that Excel was designed by NASA, for NASA? The idea being that it went on forever. What a horrible thought. Our modern world is just completely stressed out, isn't it? I had a quick look online to look at some work-related stress, anxiety and depression statistics in Great Britain in 2016. The total number of cases of work-related stress, depression or anxiety in 2015-16 was 488,000 cases. And these are just the people that go to get help. This is not talking about people that are just dealing with stuff on a daily basis. A prevalence rate of 1,510 per 100,000 workers. That's a huge statistic, isn't it, of people that aren't actually coping. The world has tried to offer many sentiments on this, the stresses of modern life. And there's a link there. This is a Bobby McFerrin song you may remember from the 80s. I'm hoping the link is going to work. No, I'm not panicking. Not panicking. Is it not going to work?
It's not
going to
work.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Be happy. Don't worry.
Okay,
be
I reckon
happy.
We get the idea. It doesn't get any deeper than that, so. Okay, so Bobby McFerrin wrote that. Song in the 80s. It's empty sentimentality, though, isn't it, really? It's an ostrich philosophy. It's a stupid thing to say to someone who's worrying, really. Don't worry, be happy. The famous saying from The Lion King, the song by Timon and Pumbaa, is a Swahili phrase, Hakuna Matata, meaning no worries. Again, it's a kind of nice in a Disney kind of way, but it doesn't really offer a solution, does it? I remember when the Twin Towers got hit, I was listening to the radio, and in all the efforts of the radio presenters to not put on anything that was inappropriate, they put on a song by Mary J. Blige called No More Drama. And I just remember thinking to myself, what a thing to say to the people that have lost their loved ones. We don't want more, no more drama. No, we don't want any more drama. So the world needs real answers. I believe the world wants contentment and peace in general, freedom from worry, but you just start sounding like a hippie or someone who can't quite cope with modern life. Other religions offer a kind of peace. Islam has five pillars of peace, but it's peace through works. It's peace through human effort. Buddhists teach, avoid wrongdoing and purify the mind.
Great.
But how? I still don't think these offer a solution. Here's a quote from me. It says, "The world speaks a word but offers no solution. Jesus speaks a word and is the solution." I think this is really serious. I think God takes our stress really seriously. And we mustn't ignore what he's got to say on it. Jesus said, "Why do you worry?" in Luke 12. We go on to the next slide. I've just written those down so you can make a note of them. "Who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Do not set your heart on what you will eat and drink, and do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things." But I still think you have to be forgiven for saying, it was easy for Jesus to say, because he didn't have a family to provide for. So I think we need to go a bit deeper. I'm going to read Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This just blows me away, really, because it's about perspective, isn't it? If we can get a grasp of God's perspective on everything that's going on, it kind of puts everything in place, doesn't it? When King David wrote this psalm, he could see the world crashing and colliding together, yet he could see the sovereignty of God over all things. I woke up the other morning singing Psalm 23. It's a well-known psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. The song's beautiful. Jesus a shepherd, green pastures, quiet waters, soul restoration. We know it very well, don't we? But the truth is that Psalm 23 comes after Psalm 22. And they were put together for a reason. Psalm 22 describes Jesus' crucifixion. And the parallels, if you read it alongside Matthew 27, are spine-tingling. They are just incredible. Considering Psalm 22 was written about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the prophetic nature of these words are just incredible. I think the thing is, unless you fully understand what Jesus did on the cross, you won't have peace. You can kind of find worldly wisdom and it will keep you going for a bit. but it won't really bring you that peace. I think it's all the more poignant when you think that that song that Bobby McFerrin sung in the video, Robin Williams is in that, and he topped himself in 2014 because he couldn't cope. Don't worry, be happy didn't get him very far, did it? I'm not belittling these things in any way. I believe they're really, really important and really serious. If we're going to allow the Good Shepherd to lead us beside still waters, we have to know what it cost him. For the shepherd to be able to restore your soul, he literally had to go to hell and back to win it. The only reason he understands what you're going through in the valley of the shadow of death is because he was completely deserted in his hour of need. My God, why have you forsaken me? When you read in Matthew 27, verse 28 describes the soldiers mocking Jesus and weaving a crown of thorns. They thought it symbolized his kingship, and that's the reason they did it. But interestingly, when you look at in Genesis chapter 3, in the beginning, God threw Adam and Eve out of the garden and he cursed the ground. Verse 17 of chapter 3 said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." As Jesus had that thorny crown pressed down to him to his head, and it pierced his skin, he was bearing your toil, Adam's toil. As he staggered up the hill of Calvary with the weight of the cross on his back, he carried your burdens. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is a call, folks. If you're desperate, if you're stressed out, if you're a stress statistic, this is for you. Are you hearing the call this morning? We're going to be breaking bread in a few moments, and I just really want you to take these things on this morning. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Next slide, Bridget. It's another one we know so well, this passage. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ." So this is the answer then. Be thankful. Rejoice, praying. It's about perspective. It's about seeing what the Lord has done for us, keeping these things in perspective, worshipping and praying. I often hear people quote this, and I think it often gets missed. People say, "The peace of God that passes understanding." Well, it's not actually, it surpasses. It's talking about something way above anything we can possibly understand. And Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. We heard from Nikki this morning as she was sharing about that bowl, about that overflowing of the peace and the joy. We can be filled with His Holy Spirit, can't we? So that we overflow with this fruit. We should be bearing this fruit, giving us an ability to cope with the stresses of modern life. So my challenge then really is to you for 2017 to learn to be still in the madness. Be deliberate about setting time apart for God. We've got a prayer room upstairs, and I would encourage you to use it. If you're weary, we will pray for you. If you feel weak, we'll pray for you. Life just seems mad. You're not feeling close to God. Be still and know that He died for you, that He carried your shame, He wore your toil on His head, and He's the King of it all. Okay, over to you.